Corporate Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, fear of failure. Are you afraid of making the wrong choice? Concerned about doing the right thing? Worried it won't work out? Will help you discern what God wants for you. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about the fear of failure. Do you feel stuck sometimes because maybe you're afraid of making the wrong choice, or you feel confused about what God wants you to do, or maybe you're concerned that it just might not work out, so why start in the first place, right?
What if it all goes wrong and then you have to clean it all up afterwards?
You know, Satan often uses the fear of failure to stop us from doing anything to receive the life that God wants for us. So let us help you get out of your own way and cultivate the confidence you need to stop fearing failure. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We all deal with this at some point or another, or often at many different points, sometimes daily, where we are really afraid to move ahead. We really are concerned that we won't make the right choice, take the right path, please God in some way, make the other people in our lives happy. We all deal with this. And it's important to try to get those blocks out of the way so we can be everything God wants us to be. We can fulfill the mission that he's giving us. We can discern it rightly. So if you're dealing with that today, we'll help you make those steps that will unblock the Holy Spirit in your life and lead you in those right directions. But if you're dealing with people in your life who are dealing with this concept, they're afraid to move on. They're constantly just tangling themselves up in their thoughts and not taking those steps they need to make their lives better, holier, healthier, move in the direction they need to move in to be able to have the life that they need to have. And you're there watching it and thinking, what do I do? How do I help them in this situation? Because I can't take it another moment if they're stuck where they are. We're here to help you figure out those steps so you can aid those people in your life as well. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that as Christians especially, because we do want to make sure that we're pleasing God in all that we do, mm-hmm. ironically, that can add another layer of hesitation or struggle, you know, because
Satan loves to lay that down.
Well,
right,
and that's exactly what I'm getting at. You know, our hearts are in the right place. We want to please God, but Satan uses that desire to please God to make us worry that we won't please him. Mm-hmm. You know, what if I get it wrong? You know, I want to do what God wants me to do, but if I get it wrong, then he'll be mad at me, you know?
Or I can mess up his whole eternal plan.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think a lot of us, even in relationships, right, we have this very... I remember feeling this way when I was younger, and I've seen it happen in a lot of other people that I know, where you've watched too many rom-coms, you know, where people just have that, you know, meet-cute where they happen to, like, bump into each other because they're both coming down too, like, intersecting streets and they bump into each other at the corner and it was meant to be.
And it changes their life
and
for all time.
And we're afraid to ever even take the steps down the proverbial street because what if we go in the wrong direction and we miss that moment that God has created for us, which is what Satan wants us to believe, that God is that limited, that he has particular moments and particular things worked out. Like he couldn't just, you know, flip everything around and make sure that our decision to go one way or the other isn't absolutely right or doesn't work out anyway, because he's this amazing, omniscient, loving, merciful God. But Satan will tell us, no, 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 no. Just like Adam and Eve, if you think you've done something wrong or if you have done something wrong, you have to hide behind that bush and not move. Just hide from God's grace the way they did, instead of saying, no, Lord, you know, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be everything you want me to be, but I'm not quite sure what it is, or I might mess this up. Can you come through for me and help me do what you want me to do and not mess it up?
And the thing about, I mean, it's, you know, the grain of truth in all of that is that, you know, we don't know God's will perfectly. We are broken, sinful people, and, you know, we often struggle to hear God's voice or know his will, and because of that, it's hard to know the right thing to do.
Well, what's the phrase? We see through the glass darkly.
That's
you know,
right.
We're trying, but it's a dark.
But the thing I like to reflect on myself, frankly, and that I share with my clients all the time, is that as Christians, grace kind of works as a GPS, a God positioning
That's
system.
Right.
You know, we can make all kinds of wrong turns, but then the Holy Spirit says, recalculating, and and helps us find, you know, the easiest way to get back on the path that God wants us to. The thing that God wants us to do most is to keep moving prayerfully. Prayerfully
that
is the key.
That is so important.
It's not just about doing, you know, just reacting to stuff.
Just doing stuff and expecting God to clean it up later.
No, it's about keep moving prayerfully. And the theology of the body, I think, offers some really important insights that can guide our steps and help us overcome that fear of failure that often paralyzes us.
It does, because it sheds light on the fact that when we need to make a decision, whether it's a big decision or a small decision, we often worry, as we're saying, about getting it wrong. And that can be very overwhelming. Sometimes we're confused about what God wants. Sometimes we feel anxious that things won't work out. And those feelings can make us feel paralyzed. But the theology of the body can help us overcome this fear of failure by reminding us that our most important concern isn't getting it right, but rather committing to growth. In the words of St. John of the Cross, the Lord measures our perfection neither by the multitude nor by the magnitude of our deeds, but by the manner in which we perform them. As Christians, our job isn't about getting it right every time. We can't control the outcome, but we can make sure that the choices we make reflect our desire to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that God has created us to be.
You know, in any decision, the best way to be confident in our choices is not to say, you know, which option gives can I use to guarantee the best outcome,
right,
but rather what option gives me the greatest chance to pursue more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in my life. Meaningfulness refers to using my gifts and talents to be a blessing to others as well as lead a good life. Intimacy refers to making my relationships stronger and healthier. And virtue refers to kind of using whatever life throws at me to become that stronger, healthier, godlier person I was created to be. You know, those three qualities, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, are the qualities, the pillars on which an abundant life rests. And if our desire, in the decisions that we make, if our desire is to avoid doing evil, to be loving and responsible in our decisions, and make choices that lead toward what we prayerfully believe increases the chances of growing in meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, then we really can't fail in God's eyes. Because no matter what the outcome of our decisions are, we are doing our best to prayerfully please God, work for the good of others, and glorify him in what we're doing. And that's all he's concerned with. So even when we feel uncertain, if we keep those principles in mind and always prayerfully move toward them, we can be confident through God's mercy and through that God positioning system I was talking about, that we either will be or will soon be on the path he wants us on. So let's talk about this today. The fear of failure. Are you or is someone in your life just kind of paralyzed because of that fear of making the wrong choice or being overly concerned about doing the right thing or worried it won't work out, concerned that you don't know what God wants? Let's talk about how to overcome that kind of paralysis by analysis and to develop the prayerful confidence that enables us to step out in faith, knowing that the most important thing isn't guaranteeing the outcome, but as St. John of the Cross says, doing it in a way that is pleasing to God. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out together today on More to Life. Right now we're going to take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we are faced with so many decisions all day long, and we desperately want to serve you and please you in all that we do. But sometimes it's hard to know what you would have us do, what the right thing to do is. We get so caught up in worrying about guaranteeing the right outcome or worrying about the fact that we can't always hear your voice clearly or know your will perfectly. And so we end up tripping over ourselves or sometimes being stuck altogether, not knowing what to do as we are afraid of failing you or the situation or ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to fill our hearts with the confidence we need to face all the choices in front of us gracefully, secure in the knowledge that we don't have to control the outcome. We only have to order our hearts toward avoiding evil, working for the good of those involved, and pursuing the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that will lead us to an abundant life. That if we do that and trust the rest to you, you will always hold us in your arms and lead us down the path you would have us walk. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about the fear of failure. Are you, or is someone you care about, just kind of paralyzed? Maybe a little stuck because you're either afraid of making the wrong choice, feel confused about what God wants you to do, or maybe you're just concerned that it might not work out, so why bother trying in the first place? Let us help you overcome that fear of failure and start receiving the life that God wants to give you. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Elizabeth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Vermont.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Well, this topic is just unbelievable because yesterday evening, my husband and I began discussing with my 15-year-old daughter about a summer job, and it would be her first time working, and she's eager to work this summer and, you know, make money. And it ended up in a huge argument, and part of it was my husband took on this stance of, like, sort of lecturing her, and it became, without all the details, it just became this stressful situation, and my daughter ended up in tears. And last night, as we were going to bed, I said to my husband, you know, I really think that some of this comes from your own fear of her failure. And he's like, we just sort of discussed that, and he's like, you're right. He's like, I'm afraid of having her sort of end up like some other family members of his that he's seen, you know, just bad choices. He's so afraid of her making bad choices and having to live with the consequences. And I said to him last night, I'm like, I think maybe you need to go to counseling, because it's a theme that's been running through our whole lives since she was like two. but it's definitely becoming more pronounced now that she's a teenager and she's having to make these choices and make, you know, these new life steps. And she's our oldest, so this is new for us. And I think the stress of it is really getting to him, and that he can't even... You know, I tried to tell him, you know, you need to just gently guide her through this and not stand in the voice of, like, judgment and you know, overbearing kind of lecturing.
He was receptive to hearing that?
So, you know, it was sort of like...
A hard conversation, but he took it. But he could take it to heart. Yeah. Okay.
He agreed. He said, "You're right."
So he said, "You're right. I do need to go to counseling." So this just happened last night. But have either of you looked up a counselor, done anything this morning to take a step, just so we see how open he is?
Yeah, well, okay, I have to backtrack a little bit because he didn't say, "Yes, you're right, I need to go to counseling."
Okay.
He did say, "Yes, you're right, I do act out of fear of
failing." Okay, well, good
for
him.
So are you asking more about how you guys could guide your daughter a little bit better without having to resort to that, or are you asking more about how you can support him in overcoming his fear?
Yeah, I think the way the conversation ended, I was wondering, how do I proceed? Because I often end up being the go-between between the two of them, of trying to keep the peace and, you know, make things go smoothly. Okay. So I guess I do wonder how to support him, because this is, I guess, for him sort of a revelation that he needs to get through, and maybe counseling. We do have a counselor that we have used my daughter, and it's been really beneficial, but this is sort of his thing that I think he needs to...
So I'd like you to follow up with that counselor. But I have some other suggestions. I think that maybe will both give you a way to support your husband's goal of leading your daughter down a good path, but also give you guys both a way to do that won't end in tears with her. In Parenting with Grace, in the teen chapter, we talk about developing a personal kind of mission statement. For helping your teens develop a personal mission statement. See, the good thing about this is, every teenager, especially, kind of wants to be thought of in a certain way, where they're very concerned with the image that they project, right? And so by saying, well, what are the things that you wish people could say about you? She's a girl who what? Fill in the blank. These three, maybe four tops qualities that she'd most likely want to be known for in her life. Once you've identified, and kind of talk about why that is too. Where does that come from? Why is that important to her? Really help her kind of make a connection with that and make that sort of a kind of a personal mission, right? And then, when she is facing choices, bring up those qualities and say, of the options you have in front of you, what do you think would help you be more of this kind of person you say you want to be? The extra beautiful thing about this exercise, especially with teens, is that teens hate hypocrisy, so we can kind of use that against them. Because if they make a choice that doesn't reflect those qualities, we don't have to lecture them as parents. We can say, now, help me understand how that choice you want to make, or that choice that you did make, helps you be more of this kind of person that you say that you want to be. Because I don't really see how that goes together. And you're kind of indirectly tapping into that hatred of hypocrisy that every teen has to challenge them to be more faithful to the values that God has placed on their heart. So by taking this more discipling, mentoring approach with your teen, you can help her identify those qualities that she wants to most be known for, and how that actually applies to the decisions that she makes in her everyday life. And that's a way of kind of helping her learn to keep on the straight and narrow without you or your husband having to breathe down her neck and lecture her and become, kind of consumed by that. My hope is that this exercise will give your husband a way to meet his positive intention of leading her down a good path without having to resort to the lecturing and fighting. And it will help give your daughter a more concrete way to make decisions other than just that she feels good about this or doesn't feel good about that. It's not so much about our feelings as much as it is which choice in front of me gives me the best chance, I think, prayerfully, to grow into this. Again, and that's the other part of it, too. I want you guys to make sure that instead of just talking about these things, you're praying about them together as a family. I think that by learning how to pray together about the decision to take this job that she wants, or that, you know, just praying together every night that, that God would really bless her and fill her with his love and help her be the young woman that he created her to be.
And praying out loud, Lord, we don't know, you know, this is the first time we've parented a child of any age, and especially this age, lead us and guide us so that we can do this as well as possible, so that we can serve our daughter and all of our children.
And doing that with her, you know.
In front of her, because it's so important that she knows that you're trying your best, and you don't just tell her that. She sees that both of you are humble enough to ask God to guide you and all of that. A lot of grace comes between people and into the situation when we admit that, you know, we're scared to death and we're trying our best, but we need God's help because we don't want to mess it up. So really praying, when you're all praying as a family, saying things like that genuinely will really help as well and open up those conversations and make her feel safer to have those conversations with you.
So if you like more ideas on how to do this or build on this, we do talk about this much more in Parenting with Grace as well as in Discovering God Together. Both of those books can really help you with this mission statement exercise and how to pray together about these decisions as a family. That's Parenting with Grace and Discovering God Together, both available at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break. When we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about that fear of failure. But joining us, Damon Owens from Joy, I'm completely blocked on what he's from.
Well, he'll be telling us in a moment because it's a
Joyful Ever After. JoyfulEverAfter.com. He'll be joining us to talk about our need for God's mercy. So stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck. And our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today we're talking about the fear of failure, and joining us right now, Damon Owens from JoyfulEverAfter.org. He's here to share with us what St. John Paul teaches us about the need for God's mercy and how that can help us overcome the fear of failure. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Good snowy morning here on the East Coast. Good to be with you.
For sure. Well, so let's talk about this. You know, I think the fear of failure often comes from that feeling that we have to do it all and exactly correctly. And St. John Paul had something to say about that.
Absolutely. And again, it gets back to the core revelation here, real emphasis about relationality. And what does it mean? And we say this all the time, but there's like with every church talk, there's such a deep meaning to it. What does it mean to be a son or daughter of God the Father? There's something really profound, whether it's in discipleship, whether it's in catechesis and understanding what we believe, whether it's in evangelization or really stirring our hearts up. In each one of those particular areas the church defines, this sonship, this daughtership really plays out in the idea of mercy and who God the Father is to us, how he sees us, and how we ought to live. And I think the powerful piece here, whether we're talking about a fear of failure, which I'm all too familiar with, or the corollary sister, the fear of success, is that self-reliance, is that sense that depending on the image of who we think we are before God, we do think we need to prove to him our worth. We need to earn love. I heard you say that earlier, that we need to do certain things in order to be good enough. But if we have that core identity of being a son or daughter, there's something profound in that that's even greater than our natural fatherhood, our natural daughtership and sonship, that there's a perfection there, an identity that we don't ever have to. We can't be unsunned, I often say. We can't be undaughtered, right? Our sin can separate us from God, but it doesn't change this privileged relationship that baptism gives us. So I think that's the key, is that returning, that where there's never a moment that we're perfect. There's never a moment, but we're always a son or daughter that God has delighted in us to begin and begin again.
And I think that, you know, one of the things that people often miss is, you know, they think that, you know, St. John Paul, he did the theology of the body over here and, you know, the divine mercy over there and this other thing over here. But they really all do connect. And in my mind, anyway, you know, those really high ideals that the theology of the body spells out, he knew that if we tried to do them on our own power, we'd just end up miserable. And that's where the divine mercy comes in. Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly right. And he says that in the early audiences, that after laying out this beautiful ideal in Genesis, being of Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2 and then the fall, we start to see the beauty, but then immediately we have to recognize the hope and the redemption that mercy allows us to always be in contact with. You're absolutely right.
All of it's only possible through God's mercy. Damon, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn how God's mercy can help them live a more joyful marriage, I encourage them to go to joyfuleverafter.org to check out your great ministry. And folks, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about overcoming that fear of failure. Stick around for more calls coming up after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We have to remember that God gave us a brain, and he did give us talented people in the medical field, some of whom, not all unfortunately, are following the science. And we need to do the same. We need to take precautions and, again, use common sense and our heads. But we can't go around living in fear, not doing what we are called to do. And in many cases, that is to travel, to go see loved ones, to go on a retreat, to maybe go on a pilgrimage. We have to be, at all times, a people of faith. And we have to remember that the phrase, be not afraid, appears some 365 times in Scripture. Coincidence? I think not.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popcheck. Pope Francis has said that there are too many children who are orphans within the family, that parents, especially fathers, need to take more time with their children.
In today's culture, families can be little more than collections of individuals living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. Marriage and family don't just happen because you occupy the same space, and it has to be more than just what happens in the 5 minutes between all the other activities that keep us busy. Husbands and wives, parents and children need to make a specific, concerted effort to create what I call rituals of connection. These are regularly scheduled times to work, play, talk, and pray together. Pope Francis is asking Catholic families to examine what it really means to be a family and put in the work necessary to achieve that. For more information on Catholic family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
So good to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about the fear of failure. Do you sometimes feel stuck because you're either afraid of making the wrong choice, or confused about what God might want you to do, or maybe you're just concerned that it won't work out? And so what's the point in trying anyway? You know, Satan often uses this fear of failure to stop us from receiving the life that God wants for us. So let us help you get out of your own way and start cultivating the confidence you need to stop fearing failure. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rose, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Rose. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
My question is, I don't know if it's a reverse of a fear of failure. Maybe it's more of not sure if I'm listening and hearing God correctly. Mm-hmm. I'm at a point in my life after losing employment from coronavirus, of taking an early Social Security retirement, which is significantly less money. And, I feel that I'm at a point in my life where I can do more for my church and local ministries that they have. I live in an area where there's much need. But of course, in speaking to my colleagues from my prior employment, they think it's reckless that I'm, you know, in the long run going to be destitute, and, you know, they're playing out my life for me in a way that I am just, I don't think I'm being reckless. I don't think I'm not putting thought in it. I'm putting prayer into it, and I don't feel nervous at all as far as just saying, you know what, I will retire. And, you know, God has always taken care of me in and out of employment for various reasons and up and down economies. And, you know, I just kind of feel, but how do I know that it's not what I want to do and not necessarily, and maybe God wants me to take another job in another worthy nonprofit for a few more years till I'm 65 or 66. How do I know that I'm hearing the right thing?
so you said something that a lot of people get caught up in, and I talk about this actually a fair bit with my clients. You know, how do I know it's God's voice and not just my voice?
Especially when a lot of other people are contradicting what you feel like you're hearing.
So the second question is, you know, when other people are telling me, oh, this is terrible, you know, how do I know, you know, who to listen to? All right. And I want to try to clarify both questions with the sort of same bit of advice. God doesn't have his own voice. He speaks to us through experience. Okay. So when we say, okay, then that is the voice of God, right? That is his voice. When we hear something, whether it comes through our own head or through the voice of other people or whatever, if those thoughts or if those messages that we get from our head or somebody else or whatever lead us in the direction that we believe is pushing us toward meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, it is the voice of God, even if it sounds like our head or our mom or the friend or whatever. It's not about, you know, asking, is it coming from me or is it coming from this person? It's about testing it by saying, does it lead to meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, or does it lead to powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, and self-indulgence? If it does the first thing, if it pushes me toward meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, which, again, to define those terms, meaningfulness refers to using my gifts and talents in a way that enables me to bless others and lead a good life, You know, intimacy, does this choice lead me to making my relationship stronger and healthier and godlier? And virtue, does this choice increase my chances of taking whatever life's throwing at me to and be a better, stronger, healthier, godlier person in the process? If so, it doesn't matter where the voice comes from. It is from God, and it leads to what God wants me to do. If, on the other hand, the voice in my head or the voice that my friends are saying or the voice that I'm hearing over there is pushing me toward powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, or self-indulgence, that voice is the enemy, no matter who it sounds like, and it's going to bear bad fruit. So we test it based on that. So you can know what God is asking you to do when you prayerfully discern which of the options in front of you do you genuinely believe, again, prayerfully, will have the best opportunity to lead you toward more meaningfulness, intimacy, or virtue. And then you step out in that. You might not be 1,000% confident, but that's okay. It's what St. John of the Cross said in the reflection at the beginning of the show, where it doesn't, God doesn't judge our perfection based on the multitude or the magnitude of our deeds, or even if we get it right. He judges it based on the manner that we approach these decisions. And if we're approaching these decisions prayerfully with the desire to do good and to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, that turns on that God positioning system I was talking about earlier, where even if we do kind of the wrong thing now, we're moving in a direction that he can work with. You know, so like it's St. Francis hears God say, go and rebuild my church, and he starts looking for good stones to build little chapels in the Italian countryside.
And he
little
builds quite a few, right?
Yeah, right? And that's not exactly what God meant, but he can work with that. You know?
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I love that you use the analogy of St. Francis of Assisi building, you know, the little stone Porziuncula churches, because God didn't just St. Francis didn't pick up the first couple of stones, and God didn't just open the sky like some Monty Python God and say, Francis, you've totally misinterpreted what I'm saying here. Yeah. And he didn't just turn him around right away. He said, I'm imagining, because it's the way it worked out, look at this beautiful heart. Look how much he wants to serve me. That he doesn't see any grandiosity in himself. He just wants to humbly serve and build these churches. I'll use what he's doing as a sign and to lead people into what I really want him doing, because I will work with this beautiful heart. And what I'm hearing in you, Rose, is this very prayerful person who's willing to discern all of this, to talk to God.
Who has a similar beautiful heart.
Has a similar beautiful heart to St. Francis. You know, when I first saw your call come up on our whiteboard, and I saw before you even said the words, your friends think you're reckless. Reckless tells me that perhaps your friends aren't necessarily in the same prayerful place that you are. Because reckless is what Satan tries to tempt us into. So, like in chapter 4 of the book of Luke, we see Jesus go out into the desert. Satan shows up to tempt him. And one of the things he says is, throw yourself off of this precipice. God's going to send angels to catch you. You're not even going to dash your foot against the rock. You'll be fine. And Jesus turns around in verse 12 and says, you know, no, it's said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Recklessness is when we don't check in with God at all. When we just say, because you're God and because people tell me you love me, I'm going to just do whatever I want to do, and you better catch me, God, to prove that you're there.
But you're not
saying
that.
That's not where you're coming from at all. You know, when I hear you speaking, I'm hearing a woman who is in great relationship with God, is trusting of God, and frankly, I hear peace in your voice. So I'm not going to tell you your discernment is right all the way along the line here, because I've only talked to you for a minute and a half. But you sound like you're coming from the right place. Continue to talk to God about it and discern it. Bring to him in your prayer, Lord, are you trying to tell me something through what they're saying, or should I proceed in what I'm doing? And I think also that if I'm understanding your position, if you take your retirement, that doesn't mean that you can't turn around and say, well, I'm going to work for, you know, these other good nonprofit places, and if they offer you a salary with it, you can't take what
like
God's giving
you. You can't find another income if you need to.
Yes.
If it came
so,
to that.
So, but Rose, you sound like you're on the right path. Take that information again to prayer, but I just love hearing from you. You've got a beautiful heart for God.
And you have a good process for discerning this.
You do.
I think if you just add that piece to your prayer life where you're really reflecting, Lord, you know, help me choose
the path that leads to the greatest meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue so that you can use me the way you want to. I think that will help snap things more into focus. And if you'd like more support in walking through this process, we actually discuss this whole process in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have. Again, you can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. It's The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about how we use these this kind of template of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue to prayerfully discern what is it that God is calling us to exactly in that next chapter of our lives. I hope that the advice that we've given you on the call today will help affirm the good things that you're already doing, give you some new ideas to take it to the next level, and I hope this resource, The Life God Wants You to Have, will help you internalize this process so that you can have the confidence that you need to step out in faith. What a great witness, though, Rose. Thank you so much for your beautiful heart. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls about how the fear of failure is stopping you from living the life God wants for you. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture today, which comes to us from Romans 8, 28 and 31.
We know that all things work for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
This is the scripture that supports the God positioning system that I'm talking about here, okay? This is not about just bumping along in life and, oh, well, whatever happens, you know, God will make something out of it, I guess. No, this is about prayerfully and intentionally discerning God's will for your life, like our previous caller was trying to do, okay? And as long as we're doing that, and really pursuing that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, and bringing those decisions to God, then whatever we do, God can work with it, right? Even if we end up, you know, accidentally mishearing him a little bit and start building little churches all over the countryside in Italy, God can work with it because our heart's in the right place. That's what St. Paul is talking about. It's not just, oh, bump along in life and God will, you know, clean up your messes. No, it's really pray about this. And if you love God through that prayerful life, then all things will work to the good, and nothing will be able to come against you. Romans 8, 28 and 31. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about overcoming the fear of failure and finding ways to accept the life that God wants to give you courageously. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about how the fear of failure can hold us back from living the life that God wants us to live, that God wants to give us. So if you or someone you care about is struggling with that, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, Maria, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a 16-year-old daughter who is in 10th grade, and she has a lot of fear to fail in academics, and even though she gets A's and she's a good student, she's in the high honor roll, mm-hmm. she works very hard to get to that A level. And so the other day that I was talking to her, because she was staying too late studying, she was telling me how she cannot concentrate during class because she just blanks out. She has this anxiety whenever she has to take a mm-hmm. test, and pretty much, you know, takes that, that's double work, because then when she comes home, she has to watch the videos, and that is what's taking long, you know, with her studies. And she goes into that vicious cycle that sleeps very poorly, 5-6 okay. hours, and then falls asleep or just cannot concentrate during class.
So how are you trying to support her now with the perfectionism? What are you trying to do to address this with her?
Right. So, and that is, you know, the funny thing is it creates a vicious cycle, because when she was in middle school, she was getting some C's, and we were always saying it's a very academically challenging school that she attends to, and we always said, you know, no C's here, you know, otherwise, you know, we'll put you in a public school. I mean, we were paying a lot of money for that school. And so
okay.
I am afraid that I have created that perfectionistic personality, number one. Number two, it is not as easy as it is to her siblings, for example, to get an A, so she works hard on that. But her fear paralyzes her, and my fear of failure is that I'm not doing everything that I can as a mother to help her.
Now, on the home front, do you see this perfectionism at the home front at all, or is it all just at school?
No, she just cares about her grades. I mean,
but like, for example, if she's doing the homework, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how, I want to give you some ideas on what you can do, but you can only do it if you're there to see it, right? So do you see her, you know, expressing this anxiety when she's doing her homework at home, or when she's talking with you about the test, or, you know, do you experience that anxiety firsthand?
Well, kind of, because whenever she's stressed out, I get stressed out. Whenever she's anxious, I become
okay.
anxious. And then
right.
I'm actually looking at her grades ahead of her to see if she failed or she... It's creating a lot of stress in me, and I'm reaching out to school counselors,
okay.
asking the teachers to sit her in the front seat, seeing... So she gets paralyzed, I get on the other side, but I'm
all
also
right.
afraid that I'm failing as a mother.
Okay.
And that's,
well, look. So yeah. this isn't about failing as a mom. A good parent isn't a perfect parent. A good parent is a parent that responds to the problems that come up. You know, there are always problems when we're parenting. You know, it's not a perfect science, and we all do the best that we can. And sometimes we say, "Oh gosh, you know, I didn't see that coming." But then, you know, we respond well to that. That's what makes us a good parent. Not the fact that there are weeds in the garden, but the fact that we're able to pull those weeds out in a timely and gentle way. So let me do this. I think there are a couple of things that I want to recommend to you. I think it's going to be important for you to start learning how to get control of your anxiety as a way of helping her to get it. You know, you're talking about getting in touch with a school counselor. I think that's fine. But I honestly think a family counselor might actually be even better, because then you and your daughter could together kind of go in and say, you know what, this is something we both really struggle with, and we want to help each other be more peaceful. be more aware of God's love for us, because you know what? It's God's love that casts out that fear and helps us to just relax and do the tasks that he's asked us to do without flogging ourselves into this idea that we have to be perfect all the time. You know, so being able to, at the very least, I want you to go to her and say, listen, this is something we both struggle with. You know, I'm afraid, and it's okay to be this vulnerable with our kids. I'm afraid of failing as a mom. You know, I want you to be happy and healthy, and sometimes that makes me a little bit crazy. And I don't mean to be, but I worry, you know, and I see that that worry comes to you too. So I'd like, let's work together on being more peaceful people. Now, one practical thing I would like to suggest to you, Maria, is instead of reacting to her, and kind of going off and doing your own anxious thing, I want you, when you see her being anxious, or you start feeling anxious, I want you to say, you know what? One of the best ways to fight against this anxiety is to, let's give each other a hug. Okay, now you might think that sounds silly or that sounds, you know, trite, but perfect love casts out fear. And when you hold on to each other, you give that hug to each other, you just don't give a real hug, all right? And as you're holding on tight, you're going to get to a point where you feel that little, because your bodies are going to reset, right? You're going to feel your heart rate slow down. Your respiration's going to change. It's just going to feel that kind of exhaling sensation of,
and you shouldn't break that hug until you both do that.
Yeah, just hold her and say, I love you so much. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this together. You know, no matter what you do, I mean, of course I want you to do your best, but no matter what you do, you're my beloved daughter, and I just want you to be happy, and I want you to know that you're loved by God and by me. And you just hold her, okay? And you receive that love from her. So that affirms you, that, you know, you're a good mom, and you're doing your best here, and she loves you too, even when you mess up. And you're encouraging each other through that anxiety, instead of feeding off of each other. You're clinging to each other and God. And in that moment, maybe while you're giving her that hug, okay, I also want you to pray, Lord, you know, we're both a little high-strung, mm-hmm. and we both want to do what you want us to do, and we both want to be great women of God, and we want to please you. Help us to know how much you love us, even when we mess up, even when we do our best, that there's nothing that could separate us from your love. Help us to receive your love and to share that love with each other so that we can come against this fear that holds us back. The second thing I'd like you to do is actually pick up a copy of my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and go through it together. Because I think there are a lot of exercises in that that you could support each other in and really learn how to cling to peace in the middle of these kinds of storms that you're encountering. So those are three suggestions. One, you know, make sure that you are... you know, not turning from each other, but turning toward each other. Number two, really using that hug and that prayer in that time of affection to receive God's grace and his love and share that with each other. And number three, make sure that you pick up Unworried and go through that together and say to her, look, this is something that we're really struggling with together and that we can help each other with. Let's work through this together. Now, if you need professional help to do that, great. By all means, go ahead and seek that out. But I would recommend you both go together. All right. If you can do it, just with the suggestions I've given you on the call, that's fine too. All right. Go ahead and make that commitment to getting whatever level of help that you need. But it's ultimately the goal is about how to learn how to stop reacting off of each other or feeding off of each other and instead cling to God and each other in the moment, literally, so that perfect love you can receive from God can cast out the fear that's in both of your hearts. Maria, thank you so much for the call. I really hope that these suggestions will get you started. As I said, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety will be a great follow-up resource. You can also learn more about our telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Great call. Thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate that.
And Greg, I'm so thrilled that you pointed this out. I hope all parents are listening to that, because so often when we get worried as parents about anything, will my kid ever eat green things? Will they potty train? Will they be successful as teenagers or in life? We pull away from each other. The anxiety pulls us away and we get luxury, and it becomes difficult if we lean in toward each other and admit those things honestly but in a supportive way. It can change everything. And when we're in that rapport with our children, then we can influence, then we can guide, and then we can all feel a lot less stressed and crazed.
So look, the big takeaway from the show, okay, is that the fear of failure tends to be rooted in the unconscious belief that we have to guarantee that we can control the outcome. And because we know we can't, we get anxious and paralyzed. The only way out of that is to do what St. John of the Cross said in our opening reflection, is to focus not so much on the outcome, but on the process. Is our process good? Are we praying about this? Is our desire to do God's will? Is our desire to work for the good of the people involved and to try to be our best selves? If we're praying about it and our desire is word to those things I just said, step out in faith and trust that the God positioning system can work with that beautiful heart to lead you to where he wants you to go. Walk in confidence, knowing that God will continue to guide you as long as you are prayerfully discerning which option in front of you has the greatest potential to lead to meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. I talk more about this whole process in The Life God Wants You to Have. You can check that out, as well as all the other resources we mentioned on today's program at CatholicCounselors.com. That's CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also learn about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice. Check it out, and then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.